This is the In Extremis Readiness podcast, and we're going to discuss now the stress and performance models. I'm going to start with a quote by Tony Blauer. Awareness is good, but without skills and ability tied to that awareness, all you have is anxiety. So hopefully by now, the relationship between physical and adrenaline-induced stress is pretty clear. We've been hammering that over the last couple episodes. And so now we're going to do a deeper dive on how this actually plays out in real environments. And the efficacy of human performance can be placed on a bell curve. So at one end, we're in a relatively calm state. There's going to be a level in which once a human becomes stimulated, there's a rise in hormones, pulse, and respirations are all going to rise with it. And as these metabolic markers rise and trend upwards, we get to a peak status of the bell curve where we can use our adrenaline, training, and experience for the benefit of the mission. Or we begin to fail at the end of that experience and expertise. All humans have an upper end threshold where once they become too stimulated, the metabolic systems and the SNS, the sympathetic nervous system, is going to be overwhelmed and we can go into that freeze, flight, fight mode, right? The difference is the training, fitness, expertise, and mindset that's going to determine whether or not someone's going to make it out of the in extremis environment. So all that training experience, those are the things that are going to be able to hopefully spread out that bell curve so we are more readily adaptable and we can handle more of the stress stimulus. Now, we're going to first start with the Yerkes-Dodson law. This is a common one we're starting to see crop up in a lot of these circles. So this is one of the original ones that I could find and draw some research on. And we were very quick to point out the model, but I wanted to have a deeper understanding of where it actually came from and the history surrounding it and how it's gotten us to where we are today. So the Yerkes-Dodson law is a model based on the research of Robert M. Yerkes and John D. Dodson, and it happened in 1908. The work began with their research on Japanese house mice. They're also known as dancing mice, wherein the mice were placed in a white box and were able to move freely between a white and adjacent black box. However, the black box was wired such that the mice would receive an electrical shock of low, medium, or high intensity. Now, over the course of multiple scenarios, over multiple days, with multiple mice, it was found that the rapidity of learning of which box was the safest and how freely they were able to move about was with the medium shock stimulus. On low shock, it did not register a strong enough stimulus for a mouse to avoid the black box. A similar response was found with the strongest shocks, apparently due to the stimulus being strong enough that the mice had to quickly choose to enter or retreat, and they did so with less deliberation and certainty. It was only with the medium strength shocks that the mice learned most rapidly and chose which path to go most correctly. Thus, the Yerkes-Dodson law, or the inverted U model, was born to illustrate habit formation during stress and performance. So, on their inverted U, they talk about simple tasks and focused attention, flashbulb memory, fear conditioning. The performance can get pretty strong during, middle arousal. When it gets super high, if there's like a really difficult task, there's an impairment of divided attention, working memory, decision-making, and multitasking. And when that arousal, that stress response, and a difficult task is really high, performance drops. And when it's really low, it's a simple task, and the stress response is really low, that rapidity of learning and the execution of their skill or whatever the action is also not that great. It's that middle arousal where the stimulus and the performance and the difficult tasks all kind of meet at that top of the U. And while this research was done in the early 1900s using mice, it has now set the tone for what the human psyche may experience while responding to stress events. The main driving point here for the inverted U model is that the arousal and decision-making is generally best when we are moderately aroused. At either extreme, our decision-making is going to break down. So during that low arousal, the motivation may be non-existent, overconfident, or even boredom may be present because it may not be necessarily requiring high skill expertise. During an extreme stress response, the individual may be harried to a point where the decision-making process is rushed, non-productive, inaccurate, or even non-existent. It is generally agreed that there is this optimal zone for arousal, commonly known as flow state, where the emotional and physical hormonal stresses used to benefit the human most strongly within their given task. However, as time went on, other psychologists began to insert their opinions based on the premise that humans are much more complex and that their stress response to these stressful events is therefore much more nuanced than what we thought can be just extrapolated from mice in a box from research in 1908. So more research ensued beginning in the 1950s all the way through today, with the Yerkes-Dodson law kind of setting the tone to further challenge this notion of stress and performance in humans. So more research began to emerge confirming that the inverted U model, some research came out to challenge this model, but overall it dug deeper into the hormonal causation of what's actually behind these models altogether. So next up, we're going to discuss the unified model of stress and performance. And that's been largely credited to Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, Lauren Christensen. But that was also taken from some research and some color coding from retired military veterans of Colonel Cooper. So that's going to be next up. We're going to be talking about the different color codes of stress response and how that got overlaid with heart rate, and also the stress and performance models with Bruce Siddle, Colonel Cooper, and Dave Grossman. So that'll be next up.